We are on Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis. We are at the two dots V'chayev, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16th line from the top. V'chayev amakatzai. It says that if the son, the mamzer, hits his father, he's chayev misa for hitting his father. If he wounds his father, if a son wounds the father, it's a chayev misa. So this mamzer's son wounds his father, he's chayev misa. Frekta gemar amai. Kari kam v'nasi ba'amcha loisar. Pasuk says, do not curse a nasi. And the truth is, the Gemara in Sanhedrin learns out that it doesn't only mean a nasi. It means every Jew. But the Isra is only if they're from. A guy that gave birth to a mamzer, right, not so from. It means he lived with a chayvi krisis. At least that's some of the ways that a mamzer comes into this world. I mean, theoretically, a mamzer could have lived with a mamzeris and they have a son, a mamzer, and the father didn't do anything wrong. But not mamzer can be a case when a person lived with a chayvi krisis, they had a son who's a mamzer. He's not so from. And the Torah says, v'nasi ba'amcha, that the only time a person is chayv for cursing anybody, including a father, is if he's isim isim amcha, if he's keeping the Torah. He's not a Rasha. This person over here is a Rasha. Now, the truth is, the Pasuk says it about Klolo, but we learn out that it applies to hitting as well. So the Gemara's Kasha is, why should the mamzer be chayv for hitting his father? His father is a Rasha. And for the Gemara, Kedamar, Rapinchas, Mishmeid, Rapapa, Ba'isa, Tshuva. Like Rapinchas said, the name of Rapapa elsewhere, the person did Tshuva. The Rasha, the father, did Tshuva. Hachanami, Kishas, the Tshuva. He did Tshuva. And since he did Tshuva, he's no longer a Rasha. So his son, the mamzer, has an Avera, is Chayev for hitting him. Frakti Gemara Bahai Bar Tshuva. Can Tshuva work for a person that gave birth to a mamzer? But now we learned, Shimon Menashe Eimer, Ezem Ubus Vayuchal Iskain, what is something wrong that can't be corrected? Zabala Erba Vayuchal Mimena Mamzer. Somebody that gives birth to a mamzer did something wrong that's incorrectable. And the Gemara understands that there's no way to do Tshuva for that Avera, because the lasting effect is there. The mamzer is in the world. And for the Gemara, hashtami isam isam chuhu. No. He's still a Baal Tshuva. The fact that he can't remove the mamzer, there will always be a blemish left from his chait. But the bottom line is he did Tshuva. And if he did Tshuva, he's no longer a Rasha. As the Mesilas Yesharim explains, akiras haratzin ki akiras hamaisa, that the person can make it, that even though he brought the mamzer into the world, it's as if he's not the one that brought the mamzer into the world. So in a certain sense, the mamzer exists. But in another sense, a person can do tshuva for anything, including for that. And that's what the Gemara is saying. Rashi. Zakt Rashi, v'ayisa maisa amcha. This father, obviously not ayisa maisa amcha, shalabara erva v'hayla mimena mamzer. He lived with an erva and gave birth to a mamzer. Because Amar Rapinchas prepared Chaimer Bakaydish. In fact, the Gemara, not the Gemara, but he had a mamzer. It's Mubus Layuchal Eskain. Hashtami Eshoel Beshav, he did Tshuva. Aysa Maisin Mamchu. Now, Zok Trashi. Unhi Nami Davoyne Golu Viniskar, Kol Shemam Shemamzer Kayim. Even though his sin is revealed and will be remembered, there's no way he can be forgotten as long as the mamzer is alive. Miyu, Mitshuva Veilach, Mechal Aysa Maisin Mamchu. Yes, the result of his chait, unfortunately, will be around. But the Maisi is about tshuva, and he has removed the chait off his ledger. And therefore, the son is mechuyev to be mechabed the father. Now, there are some achrayim that learn. Again, I don't think you have to learn that way, but, you know, I'm just being intellectually honest. Now, there are two parts of tshuva. One is to get close to the Rabbeinu Shleilim, to be viewed as a tzaddik, to be viewed as somebody that the Rabbeinu Shlom loves. And one is to remove the pagam that the chait caused. It's not necessarily interdependent. Let me try to explain. The Rambam Paskin says the Gemara says if somebody's Makadosh a lady, Amanashan, he tried the Gemar, she's a Suffolk Mukadesh, maybe he did tshuva in his heart. But isn't there a whole Chalke Kapara that if somebody did a Chayvi Krisis, he needs Yisurim, and if he did Chul Hashem, he needs Yen Hamid? So the Mepharshim all say, there's two parts to tshuva. One is the person's relationship with the Rabbeinu Shleilim, and one is the stain removal, that the neshama is stained. and the neshama needs a stain removal, and different chatam need different amounts of stain removal. So, chayve krisas rachmana litzlan needs yisurim, right, to remove the stain. But that doesn't affect the relationship between the person who did tshuva and the Rabbi Nishleilam. The Rabbi Nishleilam loves him. He's about tshuva. The Rabbi Nishleilam listens to his tfilas. All those things happen as soon as the person changes course. He changes his life. But there are stains. So stains have to be removed. And the stains removal is tshuva and Yom Kippur and every other process. So someone will learn the same thing here. That the stain of mamzer, they want to say, is irremovable. That's going to remain. There are mamzers in the world. But what the Gemara means, he's still Maisa Amcha, is the bottom line is he's not a Tzrosh anymore. He's a Tzaddik. The Rabbi Nishlam loves him. His relationship with the Rabbi Nishlam now is a positive one, not a negative one. And therefore, there's a chiyah for the father to the son to honor his father. That's what some want to learn. But that Mahalach is saying that Enoch Inami, the stain removal, is going to be very difficult for somebody that has a mamzer, because the mamzer is walking around. I chose not to learn that way, Badaska. I chose to learn that even the removal, the stain, can be removed. What tshuva does is it acts as if that mamzer is no longer his, in the sense that he's no longer to be blamed for that mamzer. The mamzer is walking around. That's the power of tshuva. Somebody asked that last time. Reuven killed Shimon. Shimon's dead. Reuven can do tshuva. The answer is because Reuven makes it as if he's not the one that killed Shimon. That's the kayach of tshuva. It's not that the stain is still there. Rashi doesn't say the stain is there. Rashi just says it'll always be remembered. The mamzer's walking around. It's hard to say that nobody will associate the mamzer with him. But the bottom line is hilchas tshuva, the Rabbi Nishlam does not consider him as he's the one that brought the mamzer into the world. That's what I think Chat and Rashi is. Rashash points out, the Chayyarik and Mark advanced he did a B'shagik. He thought he was living with a lady that wasn't the Chayyarik Krisis, and it ended up being a Chayyarik Krisis, and they had a mamzer. So why did the Gemara ask he's a Rasha? The Gemara could answer, he did a B'shagik. Dr. Rashash said, even B'shagik, if he doesn't do tshuva, he's considered a Rasha. Meaning, even though the Chayyarik was B'shagik, but he has a Chayyarik to do tshuva even on a Shagik. It's a big chiddush of this Rashash. And if a guy doesn't have Arab Shagig and doesn't do tshuva, he can be classified as a Rasha. It's a very big chiddush, but that's what he brings to Rashi. If not, why did the Gemara answer that he did a B'shagig? Without the Rashash, I would have said, the Gemara is talking about all mamzerim. The Gemara seems to say, all mamzerim are chayim b'kibadav. Right? And the Gemara's kasha is why? And the Gemara's answer is only if he did tshuva. And then, again, I'm just pointing out the Rashash. I'll share a part. Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry for interrupting. The way that you chose not to learn, isn't the part of the process of tshuva that you have to remove yourself from what you did, in addition to regretting it and saying that you're not going to repeat it. You also have a duty to educate your children, whether they're a mamzerim or not. And doing that and supporting them to a certain age, and doing that is going to bring you into contact not only with the children but with the mother of the children. Is that learning it the other way, isn't that problematic since you have countervailing mitzvahs here?
I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not sure. I hear what you say. I don't know. I don't know. I want to share a part. I usually don't try to do this, but I think it's a beautiful part. The Rambam paskens that a person who did an Avera and then he did tshuva, he gets more schar for not doing that Avera again because he has a bigger test. Let's say a guy ate crab. So he has a desire to eat crab. I have no desire to eat crab. So when he doesn't eat crab, he ate crab, and then he did tshuva, so he gets more schar for not eating crab, because he has a bigger desire. That's what the Rambam paskens, that about tshuva gets more schar for not doing the avera he has done, because since once he did that avera, he developed a what word do we want to use? A chesek, a desire to do it again. And therefore, by not doing it, he has a bigger test, and therefore he gets more schar. So Rav Huttner asked the following question. So the Rambam shouldn't say, if you're about tshuva, you get more schar. He should say, somebody did it in Avera, and then doesn't do it again, he will get more schar for not doing it the second time. The tshuva has nothing to do with the fact that he's getting more schar. It's not the tshuva that's getting him more schar. It's the fact that he once did the Avera that created this desire that he's now overcoming. Whether he regretted the first time or didn't regret the first time, but the fact that he doesn't do it a second time, he gets more schar. So why does the Rambam say about tshuva will get more schar because he has a bigger desire? The Rambam should say anybody that did a chet and doesn't do it again gets more schar. It is independent of whether he did tshuva on the first time or not. That's not what's getting him the more schar. So Rav Huttner says the following yisoid. There's a yisoid from Yisrael Salanter. Yisrael Salanter says the following. Let's say there's a person that's lazy. He's lazy. He's naturally lazy. To get out of bed for him is a massive fight. And he forces himself and he goes to Shacharis. Beautiful. He gets a lot of schar. Does it day after day after day after day. 5 years down the line, he doesn't even remember that he was lazy. He's trained himself to get out of bed and without having that argument, without having that fight every morning. It took time. First week was hard, the second week was less hard, month after month after month, till he changed his nature that he jumps out of bed in the morning. Dr. Yisrael, every day he goes to Shacharis, he will be rewarded like a lazy guy who forced himself out of bed. Because the change happened because of him. He changed himself. So he gets rewarded for that change. He's a lazy guy. The Rabbeinu Shlomo made him lazy. His natural tendency was laziness. He forced himself to be able to move. So now he doesn't remember that, but since he made that change in his essence, every single day of his life, he will be rewarded like the lazy guy who goes to Shacharis. Let's go the other way. You have a guy that's not lazy. He has no problem getting out of bed. But he makes himself lazy. He begins to enjoy sleep. And 5 years down the line, he has to struggle to go to Shacharis. And he misses Shacharis. The Rabbeinu Shlomo will look at him as a guy who wasn't lazy, who's not going to Shacharis. Because he acquired that trait. He wasn't naturally a lazy guy. He made himself lazy, and therefore now has a struggle that he's losing. So the Rabbeinu Shlomo doesn't say, here is a lazy guy that's not going to Shacharis. The Rabbeinu Shlomo says, here's a guy that's not lazy, that's not going to Shacharis. That's the way I made him. He made himself lazy. Dr. Huttner, so let's look at this guy. Let's say he ate crab, and now he desires to eat crab. He can't be rewarded for that. He created that desire. How can we reward him more for overcoming his desire when the desire is man-made? He did the Avera, therefore he has the desire. So you want to reward him for something he created? That's like the guy that wasn't lazy, that made himself lazy. But if he does tshuva, the Rabbeinu Shlomo doesn't consider that he ate it the first time. So then the Rabbeinu Shlomo doesn't consider that he created that desire. Because he did tshuva. He removed that piece. So now, it's as if he has a natural desire for crab that he's overcoming. So because he does tshuva, he's not blamed for creating that desire. That's what the Rambam means. About tshuva gets more schar for overcoming the desire. Because even though it's a man-made desire, but he did tshuva. Tshuva removes him out of the picture. It's as if he never did it. So he's not considered a man-made desire anymore. But if he didn't do tshuva, he can't get rewarded for overcoming the desire because he made that desire. It's man-made. You don't get rewarded from man-made desires. Overcoming man-made desire. But if he does tshuva, the Rabbeinu Shlomo considers it like it's not man-made. And therefore, he gets rewarded more. I hope I explained myself well. It's a beautiful part from the book. Talk to you tomorrow, bye.
No one in this room here is lazy.
Baruch Hashem.
So where do we get another test against our nation?
Well, first of all, no one in this room is lazy doesn't mean no one in this room was born lazy. Number one. Number two, it could be that no one in this room has the test of being lazy. They have other tests.
Hashem gives other tests.
Correct.
I didn't give the lazy person. No one's going through with all this without a test.
Everybody gets tested.
This world
without being tested. Correct. Correct. Something about that. Tana Rabbana. Habala Chaytzai. He bat aches others. Okay. The Torah wrote two psukim. This is the issue here. The Torah wrote a pasuk, Erves achaischa, bas avicha, oy bas imecha, meisagal ervasa. I think that's how the pasuk ends. Then the Torah wrote another pasuk, Erves bas aches avicha, the daughter of your father's wife, meisagal ervasa achaischa he. Your sister. Now the truth is, the daughter of your father's wife is your sister. Pasuk identifies her as your sister. It is. You already have a pasuk that says Erves Achaischa Bas Avicha Oy Bas Imecha. Why isn't she covered by the pasuk of Erves Achaischa Bas Avicha Oy Bas Imecha? It's like the Torah is writing two sukkim for the same woman. Now one is more inclusive. Doesn't care how your father gave birth to his daughter, with a wedding, with wedlock, or out of wedlock. But Erbes Eish Bas Eish Savicha is talking about through a wedding. It's your father's wife's daughter. But isn't she your sister? Isn't she included in the other pasuk?
Maybe she's your father's wife's daughter from a previous marriage.
Your father's wife's. Bas Eish Savicha, I'm sorry. Meileda Savicha, the pasuk says. Born from your father. The pasuk identifies this as your father's wife's daughter from your father. So the question is, why? What's the necessity of that pasuk? It's already a sister. Zok to Gemara. Tana Rabbana. Habol HaChaisai. Vibas Eishas Avos. Somebody who lives with his sister, who also happens to be his father's wife's daughter, meaning his father gave birth to his daughter during wedlock, not out of wedlock. This is his wife's daughter. It's Reuven's sister. Chayev mishum achaisa mishum bas eishes abim. He violates two isurim. The Torah added an extra iser to this girl. So when one lives with her, he's violating two chayvei krisis. Now if he does it b'shagig, he would have to bring two karbanas. If he does it b'mezid, he would get two sets of malchus. Because every chayvei krisis gets malchus, according to most Mandi Amram. So he would have to get two sets of malchus. The Torah wrote two separate isurim for this girl. She's your sister, and she's also your father's wife's daughter from your father. It's the same thing, but the Torah wrote it twice to tell me that the person gets two isurim, which b'shayig would translate to two chatas, and b'mezid would translate to two malchus. Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda Eimer, Ben Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda is supposed to say, "Ein nechayev mishum achaisa buvad." No, v'loy mipnei bas eishes avos. There is no second answer. I'm sorry. Yeah, but there's no. This is equals. These are two equal isurim. Both are chayev krisis. It's not one more strict than the other. Two separate ones. Rashi. She was born through marriage, not through a anusa. Okay, so there's a machlekes. Frek de Gemara. My tamayi de Rabbanan. Why do the Rabbanan say there's two? Very simple. That's one pasuk. Then the next pasuk is Erves bas eishes savicha meledes savicha achaischa hi lamali. Why do I need the other pasuk? If the Torah already said a person's chayav on his sister whether born in or out of wedlock, why did the Torah have to mention another pasuk about a sister born during wedlock, if that's the right English word? Obviously, the Torah is adding an iser. Why else did the Torah write this whole pasuk? If you already said a sister is a chayav krisis, regardless of who the mother is, your father's wife or not, so that includes a father's wife. So why did you have to write a special pasuk of a sister born from a father's wife? must mean that the Torah is adding a second Isser. That's what Rabbanan say. Interesting, in the pasuk of Erves Bas Eishes Avichem or Ledes Avichem, it says Achoyz Chahi. Isn't that obvious? Isn't that obvious that it's your sister? Why did the Torah add the word Achoyz Chahi? Yeah, I know how to translate. Erves Bas Eishes Avichem, my Ledes Avichem. Erva of the daughter of your father's wife who was born from your father. Stop right there. That's a sister. The Torah doesn't write extra words. Achoyz Chahi is like telling me something, but I can't figure that out. So it's an extra two words to tell me. Let me just finish. To tell me. The Torah is telling me, no, you're chai for Achoyz Chahi. Not from Bas Eishes Avichem. Achoyz Chahi, it's that love. It's not this new one. It's not a new one. It's the same one. Rashi. It's up to Rashi. Achoyz Chahi. Bahai Krav. The Bas Eishes Avichem. That is written in the Pasuk of Bas Eishes Avichem. Fine. So now. What?
Why
just say that?
What is the whole description?
Again, we're in the middle of a Gemara. You know what I mean? The is going to have to work out the psukim according to everybody.
Right.
And at the end, if it doesn't work out, you'll have a question. But meanwhile, we're still in midstream. So let's give the Gemara a chance. So again, let's just set up what we have. Rabbonim say, I see two psukim. One totally unnecessary. Must be that the Torah is adding a second lab. Why else did the Torah write it? Rabbi Yehuda Reuven says, besides seeing two psukim, I see an extra two words. Achoyz Chahi. That means the Torah is trying to tell me it's not an extra love. Now, why do I need the whole pasuk? We'll have to worry about it. But meanwhile, the Torah said, Achoyz Chahi, this is the same one. No new one. Now, we still don't know what Rabbi Yehuda Reuven is going to do with the pasuk. Just like we don't know what Rabbanan is going to do with the words Achoyz Chahi. There's a lot to be explained here. But that's what's going on over here. The Rabbanan see two psukim to tell me two Isurim. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda sees the word Achoyz Chahi to tell me no two Isurim. Each one's going to have to deal with the other one. Frek the Gemara. Rabbanan hay Achoyz Chahi my Abdullah. So the Gemara starts with Rabbanan. What are they going to do with Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's Achoyz Chahi? Why did the Torah write the words Achoyz Chahi? Zog the Gemara. Miboyelu l'chayvay Achoyz bas Abba v'bas Imay. Loimer she'em is here minadim. Okay, let me explain. It's a interesting drasha. The pasuk says, "Ervas achoyzcha bas avicha oy bas imecha." The erva of your sister, who is either your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, is a chayv krisus. How about if it's a father's mother and a mother's daughter? What if it's both? The pasuk said, "Achoyz bas avicha, oy bas imecha." Either or. How about if it's both? Now we have a rule, and this is the source, that we do not derive halachas to punish people, to give people a lav from a kal v'chomer. We can derive prohibitions from a kal v'chomer, but we cannot derive a lav from a kal v'chomer. If a person would live with a complete sister, not a half a sister, what do you get Malkus? You would say, Kal v'chomer. He's chayav and half, he's chayav and a whole. Ein mazir min hadin. This might be too severe. This might be such an iser that Malkus is not enough. And the Torah doesn't punish him, it's not enough. What will the Torah do to him? That's the Rebbe Nishlam's problem. You have no right to make a Kal v'chomer and give a guy Malkus. You have no right. The Torah wrote, half-sister gets Malkus and Karis. The other half-sister gets Malkus and Karis. How about a complete sister? We don't know. Came along the Torah, and in the other pasuk, by Bas Eishes Avicha, it said, Achoyz Chahi, and that was a complete sister. Ervas Bas Eishes Avicha, Meledes Avicha. The Torah writes the extra word, Achoyz Chahi, to tell me, by the way, you're chayav in a complete sister, even out of wedlock. Even though we wouldn't make the Kal v'chomer, there it's an either or, But by writing Achois Rehi, it includes the complete sister. So the Pasuk in Pasuk 2 wrote two extra words to reveal me something about Pasuk 1. Pasuk 1 is talking about a half-sister, regardless of in or out of wedlock. And it's saying, Mordechai of Malka. How about if a Pasuk, it's a complete sister? We don't know. You want to use Kav Chaymer? Eimazir Menadin. But by writing Achois Rehi in the other Pasuk, which is extra words, the Torah is revealing to me, by the way, that other pasuk about sister, even though it's at half-sister, also means complete sister.
Why do you need to say that it's referring to the other pasuk?
Because this pasuk says, both your wife's mother's, your father's wife's daughter born from your father. This pasuk said complete sister. But that's in wedlock. How about out of wedlock? So Achois Rehi is to teach me that the other pasuk, which was talking also out of wedlock, is even a complete sister. What? I'm sorry? Evas bas eishes avicha moiledes avicha. That's the pasuk.
Father only.
Evas bas eishes avicha moiledes avicha. The daughter of your father's wife, born from your father. No, it's your father's wife's daughter, born from your father.
Why is that? Where's their mother here? Where's the mother?
Maybe not. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's also a half sister. But Achois Rehi, Bas Eishes Avicha, Meiledes Avicha could be a half sister. You're right. Could be a half sister.
So where do we see
Achois Rehi says that that even a complete sister, right? Rashi. Dr. Rashi. He gave birth to two children out of wedlock. The mahukra, the einzim l'shamina l'bas avicha, bas aviv shloi basimoy. Dichsev bas avicha oy basimecha. V'had dichsev nami bas ishta eches avicha demash mebein imoy ben she'en imoy. Aye, the pasuk said bas eches avicha. That could be a whole or a half, because it didn't differentiate. There it said either father's daughter or mother's daughter. Here it says your father's wife's daughter. It could be your mother too. It doesn't say not. It doesn't say only your father's wife. The ma'ishasudusim. That's by marriage. Abu ba'ainsim like shemina. Ba'ainsim. It doesn't say that. The rabbis bas avim basimoi. Loi mar she'im adhirim and adim mikav v'chaymer. You don't make a kav v'chaymer. She'im im abas avim shle basimoi hizir abas avim basimoi like koshke. So according to the Rabbanon, the words Achois Rehi are not extra. They're to reveal to me about the other pasuk, that even by out of wedlock, a complete sister is usher. So again, let's review what we have here. The Rabbanon are good to go. The Torah wrote a pasuk about a half-sister. Then the Torah wrote a pasuk about a father's daughter's wife through marriage. Why did the Torah have to write that? Why isn't it included in pasuk number one? The answer is to add an isser. Then the Torah wrote Achois Rehi to tell me that even out of wedlock, it's a complete sister. So we have everything set. We know why we need Achois Rehi, and why did the Torah write the pasuk of Eretz Bas Eishes Avicha? The Chayret's included in the first one. The answer is.
How about
married sister? Well, Achois Rehi Bas Avicha Bas Imecha does not have to be Ba'intzim, right?
Right.
Okay, so what's the story? So what about you?
How do I know a full sister? No.
With wedlock or out of wedlock? Through a wedding or without a wedding?
Through a wedding.
Because the Torah said your father's wife's daughter, born from your father. And it didn't say that it's not your mother.
It could be not your mother.
It could be, yes, it could be not.
Right, maybe.
We don't say maybe. The Torah didn't say only not your mother. The Torah.
It could be with your mother, it's worse.
Again. Maybe, did the Torah say your father's wife's daughter, not your mother? Or did the Torah say your father's wife's daughter, regardless whether it's your mother or not? Bas Eishes Avicha does not mean it's not your mother.
But it could be.
So it includes both.
It could be that's not your mother.
The Torah would have written that. We look at the Torah and we take it for word. The Torah says, your father's wife's daughter born from your father. Correct? Does it say who the father's wife is, whether it's your mother or not? No, it doesn't. It includes both. And Ein Tzimit says clearly, Bat Avicha, Oy Bat Imecha. Either it's only your father's daughter or only your mother's daughter. There it specifically says half sister. It specifically says half sister. Correct.
That's
my but by Bat Eishes Avicha, the Torah didn't specifically say half sister.
Right. It's telling me that by half sister, even a half sister is as strict as a full sister.
Correct. Now, Chayitz Rahi, written in Pasuk 2, reveals to me about Pasuk 1.
Is there anywhere that the pasuk we need something to tell us that even a step sister means that
it's not us, our step sister's mother?
No, because the pasuk says without the Savicha, I would have said that maybe it's Bas Isha Savicha.
Yeah, but it's not true. You're right. It says Meleda Savicha to tell me you're not having a step sister. You're talking about having a step sister.
Right, but only because of Meleda Savicha, I might have.
I don't care why, but that's the fact.
So what is it? So if you go back to the first
month, we haven't gotten to Rabbi yet. We're only talking to Rabbana now. Rabbana are taking care of all the problems. Again, we haven't gotten there. Again, the Gemara, you have to give the Gemara a chance to talk. Frank the Gemara, Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda. Why aren't the Rabbana right? Achai Tzri is not extra. Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda said Achai Tzri is the extra to tell me that Bas Eishes Avicha doesn't apply. But it's not true. I need a chayitz chayi like Rabbanan said. Zakti Gemara, im kein lichte Rachmana achayitzcha. Could have just said the word achayitzcha. He lamalu. Why did the Torah say he? Zakti Gemara, you don't agree with Rabbanan. Achayitzcha to tell me complete sister. What is he for? Tell me, he lamalu. The word he is to say no, only one, not two. Correct the Gemara of Rabbanan. Let's see if Rashi, there's a Rashi. No. Correct the Gemara of Rabbanan. What did Rabbanan do with the word he? So the Rabbanan say as follows. Let me speak to that outside. We have a concept that sometimes we can figure out something from a Kal Vachomer and still the Torah writes it. And we're willing to live with that. That the Torah will write something that I could have figured out logically. So if the Torah would have only written Achayitzcha, I would have said, you know what? I could make this Kal Vachomer. But the Torah Rabbah told me anyway. This wouldn't be a source that I can't learn out Lavin from a Kal Vachomer. I would have said, you could learn out Lavin from a Kal Vachomer. The Torah wrote Achayitzcha to cover itself. Sometimes the Torah will write something that you can learn out logically. But by writing he, the Torah is saying, no, we have to write this because you would not be able to figure this out. This is the source of Eimaz here and Menadin. How do I know you can't learn out a law from a Kal Vachomer? Matir and love. I'm not talking about Chiyuv Misa. Love. How do I know that you can't learn out a law from a Kal Vachomer? Achayitzcha? Maybe the Torah wrote something down that we could have learned that logically. The Torah will do that. But by writing the word he, the Torah is saying, I'm writing an extra word to tell me that I had to write Achayitzcha, because without it you would not have been able to learn that logically. So this becomes the source of Eimazir Menadin. Zakti Gemara Rabbana, Avagav Dechsimt Achayitzcha, Itzruch Lemichtav Hi. You shouldn't say I can learn out things from a Kal Vachomer. The pasuk will write things I can figure out logically. He? No. This is the rule. This is not just an extra. This is a rule. That's why the Torah had to write. Okay, what Rabbi Yehuda will do, we'll see him tomorrow. Everybody have a